Go to Acts 20. I'm going to share briefly with you. If we had time, I wanted to read the whole passage, but we don't have time. So I'm just going to read the one verse I wanted to focus on. Paul gives a sermon here. He's departing from Ephesus after ministering there for 3 years. He says in 31, "Therefore, watch and remember," 20:31, "that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus, that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And this is a striking example of words of Jesus that do not appear in the Gospels. But Paul, this was undoubtedly a proverbial saying that was in the early church, floating around the early church, and Paul put those words, that saying of Jesus, "It is more blessed to give than to receive," in the canon, so that we know it is truly an inspired word. And as I meditated on this scripture, I asked myself, is this so? Is this so? Is it more blessed to give than receive? And if so, why? And I could give many reasons, but I just want to mention a couple this morning. I want to mention three blessings of giving. One is, by giving, we get to partner in God's work. Partner in God's work. We're going to, I don't know, we'll probably come back here, but look at Philippians 1. Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul says to the Philippians here, he says in verse 3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship," or partnership, "in the gospel, from the first day until now." What does he mean there by partnership in the gospel? Well, we know what he means when we go to chapter 4 of Philippians, because he says this. He says in chapter 4, verse 15, "Now you, Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The partnership in the gospel was the fact that they supported Paul in the work of the ministry. And by doing so, Paul says in chapter 1 that they were partakers, look at 1:7, that they were partakers of with him of grace in the gospel. So by supporting his work in the ministry, they partook of the grace of God working in his ministry, and being his partner with him in the ministry, they were also not just partnering with Paul, they were partnering with God. And we think often of the duty of giving, but when you contemplate giving from the perspective of what giving is really for, which is for God's work in the world, it is a high privilege that God would condescend to partner with us to accomplish his will in the world. When you think about your job and how often it's tedious and mundane and boring, and you have to work with that annoying supervisor, to think that your labor is being used by God to further his kingdom and his purpose on the earth, it lifts your mundane work to a high and noble level. Amen? Here's the thing we have to remember when we are giving, is that we are not giving to pay bills. We're not giving to pay salaries. We are giving to save and reclaim lives. This is why we're giving. I could give you testimony after testimony about the lives that I have seen changed. And it's all been made possible because people were willing to give to support the ongoing work of my ministry. I think of a young man who came to my office one day, clearly visibly shaken. He says to me, my employer is requiring me to do things with the books. He was an accountant, which are unethical. But if I don't do them, I'll lose my job. I've been violating my conscience and I feel guilty. So guilty that I have a loaded gun in my car and I'm ready to take my life. Well, by the grace of God working in that situation, he, of course, handed his gun over, did not take his life. God provided a different job, and his life was spared as a result of God's grace working in that situation. I think of another testimony of a man who came to me, a homeschool father. He says to me, clearly shaken, he says to me, I have a problem with pornography. I'm in bondage, he says. And it's so bad that the only reason I'm coming to you is because I'm so desperate that tonight I considered hanging myself in my closet. I tried for years to get free. So he comes to me, and through the grace of God and through literally a year of prayer and counseling, he was set free. Amen. Set free completely. Amen. I think of the testimony of when Shirley Maloney got saved. I'll never forget the night, because it was a night of much rejoicing and many tears. When I gave an invitation at church and Shirley raised her hand, she was born again. And the rejoicing with Lauren Jr. and with Holly. They'd been praying for years for their mother. A life saved and reclaimed. And now as a result of that life saved and reclaimed, Lauren Sr. is sitting here today. He knows Jesus Christ. Another life saved and reclaimed. And here's the question we have to ask ourselves. How valuable are those lives? What are they really worth? Because you see, that is what we are giving for. We're giving to see men and women come to Jesus Christ, and we're giving to see the saints built up, men and women freed from the bondage of sin. That's what we're giving for. And I can tell you story after story after story of how I've seen God work miraculously in lives in my ministry, but it's not me, it's God. But the point you need to see is that the ministry is not possible without the support. And we think, oh, tithing, it's just so unsexy. Who wants to pay the bills? I wish you could see what goes on in my office. I wish you could see how God touches lives. It's a sanctuary for people who need to confess their sins, who need healing. It's a sanctuary. And you have built that sanctuary with your giving. And you maintain it by your giving. And lives are changed through your giving. That's what we're doing. We're partnering with God in changing lives. Amen? And that's a blessing. Second blessing is that we get to do God's word. We partner in his work, but we get to do God's word. What do I mean? I mean, it says in Proverbs 21 that it is joy to the just to do justice. Or Jesus said to his disciples, after setting an example of service, he says, okay, you know now what to do, but happy are you if you do it. See, if you do it. Not happy are you if you know it, happy are you if you do it. You see, there's a blessedness in doing God's word for several reasons. One reason is that it brings a clear conscience. And this is a treasure to have a clear conscience before man and God. To know that we have done God's word. To know that we are obedient. And this is particularly important as it relates to giving. And I'll tell you why. I believe We mentioned the importance of faith. When it comes to those times when you really need to see God come through, and it may not even be financially, but you know, these things we're talking about here are not just principles of giving, they're really principles of the Christian life, right? But we're relating it to giving. When it comes to those times when you really need to see God come through, if you know that you've been disobedient, it is so very hard to pray in faith. It is so very hard to pray in faith. And particularly in a specific area. So if I know that I've not been giving to the Lord's work, and yet I need to see God provide, it's very hard for me to pray in faith that God's going to provide, because I know I've been disobedient. You see? And a lack of a clear conscience then undermines my faith, my ability to truly pray. So God gives me precious promises, but I can't grab hold of those because my conscience isn't clear, you see. But I can assure you that if you give faithfully to the Lord's work, and as I said before, I believe in tithing, actually not as a goal, but as a starting place. But that's between you and God. But if you believe God has told you how to give and what to give, and you are faithful in that, consistent in that, regular in that, when your time comes and you need to see God provide and work in your life, you will be able to pray with a confidence and a faith that would not be there if you were disobedient. So there's a blessedness in doing God's work, a blessedness in obedience, because of the confidence it gives us before the throne of God. No, this is not work salvation. It's all by grace. But it's the way we are made and the way it works. But a second reason we're blessed in doing God's word is because Jesus said that when we obey, that he and the Father come and they fellowship with us. Look at John 14. Jesus is talking about his departure, but also about the Spirit's arrival. He says in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So there's a joy in doing God's word, because Jesus says that he will manifest himself to his obedient disciples. Now again, this is not work salvation. You know what this is? This is birds of a feather flock together. And what I mean by that is that as we learn to obey, we come into sympathy with Christ. You see? We become more like him. I believe Jesus is talking to his people all the time. All the time. It's just that we don't understand the language. We're not hearing what he's saying. Why? Because we're not like him. Or as Lauren says, the gunk on the window. Jesus said, the pure in heart, they'll see God. Right? Not because their purity earns them the right, but because their purity makes it possible for them to understand God. Jesus is in our midst today. And some of you know it and some of you don't. Some of you have gunk. Some of you in this area, particularly, are not obedient. And that's between you and God. But it's gunking up your window. And it's hindering your fellowship with God. It's an obstacle. And so as we obey and as we conform ourselves to the will of God, then we are like-minded with him. That's what fellowship is. We're like-minded. We're together. We have things in common. And so Jesus is able to manifest himself to us because we can see and understand his heart. Are you hearing me? The third blessing, and then we're going to conclude. The blessedness of experiencing God's wealth. God, there are many, many promises in the Word of God that God will provide if we're obedient. And there are specific promises in this area. One was read earlier in Malachi. Some Christians object to that one because that's Old Testament. Okay, I'll give you a couple New Testament ones, all right? Go back to Philippians for a moment. We read it earlier. Philippians 4:19. Paul says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." If I said to you, what's the most important word in that verse, we'd have a big debate. Some people say God. Some say Jesus, riches, glory. But in order to understand this verse, in this context, you know what the most important word is? Your. Why? Because when you read the context, this promise is given to those who partnered in the gospel. And there are Christians who are praying this verse and trying to claim this verse, but they haven't fulfilled the condition. This verse was for the Philippians because the Philippians partnered in the gospel. They were givers. God gives to givers. Yes, he does. He gives to givers. And this is a promise, not to the selfish Christian. This is a promise to the giving Christian. Look at 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians. We all know this verse, whether we like it or not. 2 Corinthians 9:6, "But I say to you, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, not of necessity." Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having always all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." This promise of God providing and abounding toward the believer is not a generic promise. It is an explanation of what he means when he says that if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. In other words, it is a promise, but it's conditional. There are many conditional promises in the Bible. So it's a wonderful promise, but you have to fulfill the condition. Right? Now, I want to reap bountifully. The problem is, am I willing to give bountifully? Will I meet the condition? So, God, let me just say this about God. He has a very big heart. God's love is we only see such a little bit of his love. His love is so vast and so immense. His heart is so large. His heart is so for us that we need a revelation to see it. That's what Paul prays in Ephesians 3, that we would have that revelation. God's heart is toward his people. God wants to bless his people. I believe God wants to pour out all kinds of blessings on his people. I believe this with all my heart. But I also know that God, his hand is hindered if the conditions are not met. They really are. You know, when Jesus went to his hometown, we're told in the Gospels that he could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. The Son of God was hindered in his ministry because of the unbelief of the people around him. Astounding, isn't it? The lack of provision that we experience at times is not due to God's narrow heart. It's due to the fact that we as his people are not meeting the conditions. God wants to pour his blessings on his people. God wants us to have all grace. He wants us to always have all sufficiency. He wants us to have this at all times in all things. He wants us to have an abundance for every good work. This is God's will for us. Do you see this? This is God's will for you. But then if we don't experience this, we have to ask ourselves, am I meeting the conditions? You see? Do you ever have to discipline your children? You ever have to do one of those things where you had a fun activity planned and your child disobeyed and you had said, sorry, we were going to go to the zoo, but because of your disobedience, we can't go today. You ever have to do that? God has to do that with us. I want to bless you, but I can't because you're not meeting the conditions. And God is willing to share His wealth with us, whether not only financial, but His wealth, His spiritual wealth with us, provided we meet the conditions. And one of those conditions is giving. He that gives bountifully receives bountifully. And we heard some testimonies of this today. But it was also said today that God's not a vending machine, right? And sometimes when you give to God, He pays you back in a different way. You might give a lot financially and you reap some other way, but there will be bounty. There will be blessing there. And I want to say this, and I think that's why I'm here today. You know, some of you may know this, but I've got a back problem. And I've been in bed all week this week in pain. And was contemplating whether or not I should even be here today because the pain I'm in. And I feel like the Lord said, go, because I have a word for you to give. And the word is this. There are men in this church who God wants to use for His kingdom, but they are not giving to me, and therefore they are restraining my hand in their life and their ministry. The shoe fits, wear it. But this is an Achilles heel for some of you guys. You love the Lord. You're great in so many ways, but this is the thing that isn't surrendered yet. And the Lord's saying, this is the thing that's holding back the abundance. And I don't just mean financial abundance. There are men in this room who know in their hearts God has something more for them than 9 to 5. They know this. They know God has gifted them. They know God has called them. They know they have things to do for the kingdom of God. But this is what's holding it back. This is it. And I'm just the messenger. But I believe the Lord wants the men here to hear that. And I believe He's speaking to you guys. I know He is. He wants to use you way beyond anything you can think or imagine. But you have to surrender this area to Him, or it's going to hold back this blessing. This blessing. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen. Let's stand. Father, help us see Your heart. Help us see how good and kind and gracious You are. Help us see that Your heart is to bless Your people, to use Your people. We thank You, Lord, that You condescend to partner with us, or allow us to partner with You in Your work. We thank You for blessing us by allowing us to do Your word. We thank You for blessing us by allowing us to experience Your wealth and Your provision. Lord, I pray for each of us a grander vision of who You are. I pray that You grant us a larger heart. And Lord, for the men here that You've spoken to, give them the grace to respond according to Your will. For Your kingdom's sake, for the work that You want to do through them on the earth. And I ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.